Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio. This week, we are going to be talking about some of the big mistakes people make as they start to get ready for whatever comes next. This is a show that we spend the next hour talking about things like, you know, disasters and earthquakes and hurricanes and all those things that are in our theme song. But sometimes you have to take a step back and look at the bigger picture and see, what are you doing wrong? And I'm sure that, Amy, you know a lot of mistakes that people make when they start to just get into this kind of a lifestyle.
This is going to be a great topic for us for this next hour. Absolutely. And I'm excited about this one because we are all about emergency preparedness. And, you know, it really boils down to being more self-sufficient than government dependent.
Exactly.
So,
And it is a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking. It's something that comes from more than just buying something and saying, oh, I'm prepared. This is something that comes from within and makes your individual choices every day, and it impacts those choices.
Exactly. And, you know, some of our past shows, we've talked about things like getting prepared for natural disasters, or, like, you know, we talked a lot about the snowstorms that came through and, you know, this whole snowmageddon that just shut Atlanta down for crying out loud. And we talked about that, but today we're going to focus more on, you know, long-term preparedness.
And things that you can do right from the beginning to, in order to be more prepared. Our sponsor is TruPrep, and they do a great job at helping people learn what they need and what they don't need and being prepared. Because there's a lot of things out there these days where they say, you know, just buy this or buy that and you'll be fine. Or you need, you know, this. Or here's some kind of insurance program where you can buy in for so much a week and there you're going to be set. But there's a lot more to it than just what you can buy.
Right, exactly. And it can get overwhelming, Doug. You know, just getting on, I mean, heck, if you go on YouTube and Google search emergency preparedness or doomsday or, you know, anything along those lines, you can get overwhelmed pretty quickly. But not only that, you know, there's a lot of information out there, and it's very easy not only to get overwhelmed, but to be fed the wrong information. So hopefully today we will put a spotlight on, you know, some of the do's and don'ts and, you know, kind of look at some of those, you know, prepper mistakes.
And I kind of want to lead from smaller mistakes to bigger mistakes. So,
sure.
You know, let's kind of count down. From
okay.
What you'd say, what do you think would be one of the mistakes that most people make? Maybe not the biggest mistake, mm-hmm. Maybe not the most earth-shattering. We're not talking about whether this is, you know, I said cut the blue wire kind of mistakes, but I'm trying to get a feel for what do you think are some of the more common mistakes?
That's an interesting question because I'm not really sure the answer that you're looking for, so this should be fun to run with. I don't know. I guess personally, one of the top things that I think as far as just a mistake would be, I would say, you know, personally, I think it's living in fear or living as though it has already happened. Because if you live your life in fear or live it like it has already happened, it actually has happened for you.
I think that that's a great point. And I think that is one of the mindset mistakes that most people fall into. They start to think about what all could go wrong and they're not actually living their lives. They're living in fear. And one of the things that we're trying to promote is that you don't have to live in fear if you're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Being prepared today makes for a worry-free tomorrow. And the goal here is that when you start to get your plan together and get all of your preps and your strategies aligned, then you don't have to worry about what's going to happen because you've got a plan. I mean, it's kind of like if, you know, you can swim. If
mm-hmm.
if you're afraid of getting thrown in the water because you can't swim, well, if you can swim, then it's not such a big deal to get thrown in the water because you know you can swim.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What happens to a lot of people is that they start to get into prepping and they're like, well, you know, what if there was an EMP, or what if there was, you know, the entire grid shut mm-hmm. down, or what if there was an asteroid hit the Atlantic Ocean? You know, it's the movie Deep Impact. What are we going to do for this kind of
right.
catastrophic event? Well, I need to have 5 years worth of food, and I need to have the ability to generate 21 gigawatts of power every month so that I can run mm-hmm. everything in my house, including my DeLorean. I need all of these different things, and it's going to cost a mint, and I need a bunker that's a mile underground to survive the radiation so I can survive just like they did in Fallout 3. The problem is that they're looking at such a huge big picture that there's no way to actually draw it together in a reasonable amount of time. I mean, you can prepare for anything if you have unlimited time and an unlimited budget, mm-hmm. but nobody does.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of possibilities out there. You know, I'm not sure how probable, you know, a lot of them are. But let me tell you, if you have a very active imagination, you know, sometimes there's a lot of concern. And speaking as a woman, I do know that, you know, emergency preparedness is, you know, I would say male dominated. And there are a lot more women that are, you know, really kind of seeing the light and seeing that there is a need for emergency preparedness. And I think one of the reasons is it scares us to death to let our minds go, you know, where places where, you know, where there's no electricity and there's, you know, there's nothing on the shelves and we can't take care of our families. And it is downright frightening.
So one of the ways that we can combat this mistake, the mistake of too big of a picture, is to focus on getting started small and building up. If you start preparing for a 72-hour disaster, then it's easy to go from a 72-hour disaster to a one-week disaster. It's easy to go from a one-week to a three-week. It's easy to go from a three-week to a two-month. It's easy to go from 2 months to a year.
Yes.
But going from zero to a year is astronomical. Well, I mean, it's overwhelming.
It's exactly like training for a marathon or you know, getting your degree or something. I mean, you know, if you're training for a marathon, which I did.
Really?
I didn't do the marathon. I actually got up to 12 miles. I did. It was amazing. So it was my lifetime goal to run a marathon on my 40th birthday. But my knees and ankles said, no, ma'am. So that didn't happen. But, you know, let me tell you, in getting out, and I did run a little bit, playing soccer and that sort of thing. But the first mile that turned into 3 miles, and I'm like, are my lungs actually going to allow me to do this? And then just little by little, and then I got up to 5 miles, and then I got all the way up to 12 miles. Let me tell you, day one, there's no way I could have done those 12 miles.
Right. I mean, it's like the old adage, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And if, as we're preparing, we start to look at things in incremental baby steps, then it becomes not only, you know, feasible to wrap your mind around it and to actually, you know, feel like you can do this, but it's also economically a lot easier. I mean, you don't have to go out and drop $3,000 on food the first time you decide that you're going to be ready. You can go and get a pack of Datrex bars, or you can get yourself a Mountain House bucket that's going to have food for 72 hours, and then you're just, you know, if from there, is that prep not valid when you're looking at a year? Of course not. It's still a good prep to have. It's just a baby step that gets you there.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think something that goes along with this is prioritizing, because there are certain things, you know, if you're brand new and you're looking at this as a ginormous picture, you really do need to prioritize. And you know, you might want about, you know, 3 months worth of toilet paper, but if you don't have your water taken care of, then you know, that toilet paper is probably not going to do you much good.
That's a great point about prioritizing, because a lot of people, like I was saying, look at, you know, what if there's, you know, an asteroid hits the Earth, or if the zombies come up from the dead, or if there's an alien invasion. And while they're thinking about preparing for these massive campaigns, they're not preparing for the tornadoes, which are going to hit in mm-hmm. a couple of weeks. They're not preparing for the ice storms, which just had happened, mm-hmm. because they've got these big plans. You're going out and buying ammunition and firearms and gas masks when there's real emergencies that I can guarantee are going to happen, mm-hmm. rather these things which are distant and remote possibilities.
Yeah, things happen all the time. And all we have to do is look in our history books, and they are just littered with different things.
Another thing that I think is a rookie mistake is that people who get into this start buying things that they have never used before and probably will never use again. For example, you eat, you know, what you eat on a daily basis. You have canned corn, you got canned green beans, mm-hmm. you've got Chef Boyardee, you've got all of, you know, Hamburger Helper. These are the things that you do on a daily basis.
Well, some of us.
Some of us.
Yeah, I'm more of a foodie.
I have small children, so,
so you got the macaroni and cheese.
I go for the macaroni and cheese. Right. That's right. But you know, these are things that you eat every day, mm-hmm. and so when you start to prepare, the first thing you do is go out and buy a whole bunch of food that you've never tried, never tasted, and never used. Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully not.
That's the problem. Is a lot of people think that they need to go straight to freeze dried mm-hmm. when they're getting ready. You don't have to start at a year's supply of freeze dried.
Now, right? Because the freeze dried, you've got it. I mean, that really is a prepper's favorite because you have such a long-term shelf life with your freeze dried.
And it tastes so good. I mean, it has high quality and it's high value, but it's also a high cost.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go and buy a year's worth of freeze-dried to get started. Is it a good prep? Is it something that you should plan on eventually getting? Absolutely. But don't start there. Start by when you go to Publix and you're going to be buying X, Y, and Z, and you see that X and Z are buy one, get one free, get the extras. And put them in your pantry and
yes.
start to grow your pantry to a point where you have what you normally eat.
Yes, a well-stocked pantry is absolutely key. And a lot of people don't realize that those canned foods, you know, really do have some liquid gold in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
There you can use the water and the juices for cooking as well. And it's a great way to get started. Now, the flip side of buy what you use would be use what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people fall into this trap of, oh, I'm going to go buy this whiz-bang ham radio setup and throw it into a Faraday cage so it's protected from the EMP. And when I need it, I'll have it. And I have no idea what it is, how to use it, what to do with it, or even how it really works.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I'll tell you what, how about if we kind of finish up just a little bit on this little segment, you know, with our food, we will jump back into, you know, kind of buying gadgets and not using them. I think that's an excellent point that definitely needs a little bit of extra time on. But for now, how about if we take a quick break? And we'll come back and open up on that note. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Folks, you're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Folks, we're back and we're talking about all the sorts of mistakes people make when they're first getting into the prepping lifestyle today. We had talked a little bit about, you know, going in too deep and maybe getting things that are you getting overwhelmed, thinking you need things that you probably can't afford right off the bat. But the other side of that is actually using what you buy. I mean, there are a lot of people who buy products and they're products that they've never used and they don't have any idea how they work, but they think that just because they bought it, they're set. A really pertinent example of this is firearms. A lot of people go out there and buy a gun and buy a box of ammo and think, man, I am ready to go. And they have maybe run a couple of rounds or a magazine through it, and they don't really know how it functions. They don't really know how to take it apart and clean it. They don't know how to use it tactically in an emergency situation. But just by purchasing it, they get that sensation of safety. And that comes with all of the products mm-hmm. that come in with prepping. You buy a weather radio that has a hand crank charger and a solar panel, and you think that, oh, well, when there's an emergency, I'll know what to do with this thing. But if you don't drag it out and try it, how are you going to know how to use it?
Yeah, that is so true. And I have a great story, one of my favorite stories, and I'm not going to use any names just in case my friend is listening. I have a friend of mine who, and let me tell you, he did the right thing by trying this particular product out, because let me tell you, he had some eye-opening moments. He bought an Eno, a hammock, which True Prep does sell, but it's this very lightweight hammock that you can, you know, tie up from tree to tree, and it has this great little, it's called the Pro Fly, or there's another. Basically, it's just like a little tarp that goes over you, keeps you safe from the elements. There's a bug net. Really cool.
And lightweight.
And very lightweight. Great for backpacking. I have one, actually, and I love it. But anyway, back to my friend. He tried it out for the first time, went camping, and decided he was going to sleep in this hammock all night. Well, the trees were a little close together, which he didn't realize, and he ended up sleeping in the shape of a U. Yes. So he woke up so stiff that he had to basically roll out of that hammock and plopped onto the ground.
Wow.
And had a eureka moment.
Yeah.
So he realized the next time to straighten that baby out a little bit more. And
Well, these are things that, you know, when it's a camping trip or when it's a test run, it doesn't make any big difference. But what if you had woke up after a night like that and now you have to hike 24 miles that day, carrying a 50-pound pack while keeping your kids in tow? I mean, things like that make it so that that good night's sleep is mission critical. Whereas right now, it's just a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's some, one of the things that everyone needs to realize is when they go out there and they get their new gadget or they get their new toy, they can't just throw it in a closet and say, I'm prepared. They've got to go out there and use it a few times and see if it's actually as good as they think it is.
Yeah, that's right. And some of these items would, you know, I think they'll be a little bit easier to sort of get the hang of. And you know what? Some of these also, you might be just fine, but the key word is might. You know, you really do want to find out. It's like the Berkey system. You know, the Berkey, when you pull out the instructions, it says how you need to, you know, prime your filters and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, it's going to be a little easier if you have some nice, clean running water. You can do it otherwise, but it makes it a little more difficult.
That's right. And, you know, the thing is, it's just like assembling furniture. The first time you do it, it takes you an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. The second time you do it, it takes you 15 minutes because you know what you're doing. You've done it once, and you know the mistakes to make and not to make and how to do things and how to line it up so it all pulls together.
Exactly. Just like my 15-year-old driving, she's actually getting pretty good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. The first couple times, I was in fear for my life. But it's working out. It just takes practice.
Practice makes perfect.
It does. Yeah. Well, how about another mistake?
Big mistake.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think that people really need to focus on is to remain calm.
Mm.
I think a lot of people get panicked when they're thinking about what they need to do and how to get ready for it. And that goes back to the original thought of, you know, the people who don't know what they're doing and they're like running around and trying to prepare for all sorts of different things. By having the plan in place, that gives you more of a sense of security, and then it gives you more time to work out kinks. So one of the things that I think that people mistakenly do is panic about getting ready.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I think that's going to kind of revolve around personality types and things like that. I know, you know, I'm a pretty calm person, but I can definitely see something throwing me into a panic. But I know just if I've had some dry runs, you know, through my, you know, my plans, or if I really feel like I have what I need, I'm not going to be near as panicked.
Another mistake that I think a lot of people make is by buying things that only serve one purpose. And I think that it's better to have items in your repertoire that can be used for multiple things. Now, there's such a thing as being a jack of all trades and a master of none. But in this situation, having one item that can serve multiple purposes. The cook on the Food Network, Alton Brown, he has a big thing in his shows about not having anything that just does one job in the kitchen. Mm. It needs to be a multitasker. And your preparations need to be multitaskers, too. And one the thing in the kitchen that most catches my mind is a pizza cutter. You think a pizza cutter is made for cutting pizza. But it is so versatile that it can do so many different things because, you know, it cuts cleanly, it rolls, it gives you more options on how you can cut. And it's way more useful than just a standard knife for a lot of things in the kitchen. So start looking at the preps that you're going to be putting in your bag or in your car in a light of what all can they do instead of just what can it do.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a really great point.
One of the products that I just saw the other day over at True Prep, which was really interesting, was a flashlight. And it's a large flashlight. It looks kind of like a mag light. It has a 7,500 milliamp hour battery in it. And what that means is that it's about twice the size of the battery in an iPhone 5. So if you had this battery, which run your iPhone 5 twice.
Oh, wow.
Compared to what a full battery
That's
would
impressive.
For it. Well, it has 1,000 lumens, and so it's a very bright light. You can see a long ways. It has an adjustment so that you can go from 1,000 lumens all the way down to like 25 lumens and extend the battery life. But if you screw off the top where the light bulb would be, it's an LED, but if you screw off the top bezel, underneath is a USB port with a electronic charging device. So you can plug your cell phone or your tablet or anything that works off USB, anything, into the base of your flashlight and charge it.
Wow. So who makes this flashlight?
It's made by JetBeam, and they're retailing at TruePrep for about $100, which is really a fantastic value. If you think about the battery alone, it's a 7,500 milliamp hour battery, which in comparison is about twice to three times the size of your cell phone battery. And if you looked at how much those cost, then you're up to over 60 to 70% of the flashlight already just for the battery side of it.
Sounds like a great deal.
I think that it's a fantastic value. It's a multitasker. It does a variety of different things that you can use it for. And it's one of those preps that really expands your budget because it's doing more than one thing at a time.
That's pretty cool. You know, and I was thinking too, you know, as you had mentioned, that we need to kind of, the things that we do have, I mean, if we can find other purposes, you know, for them. I mean, I have a bunch of tarps, you know, kind of laying around in my garage, and I use that to throw over my firewood, and, you know, we use it for rain.
Or moving camping. Bodies.
Moving bodies. This is not the zombie show. No, we'll talk about that next week.
My cousin Vinny has lots of tarps, too. I mean, it's really amazing what he can do with the big trunk on the back of his old Cadillac.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no. We're talking more, you know, I don't know. What else are some things that have other...
Other good preps that have multi-uses that you don't really think about are things that you use in everyday life, like duct tape.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can use duct tape for a variety of different things. If you can't fix it with duct tape, you're not using enough duct tape.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the same kind of thing goes with paracord. There's only thousands of things that you could use paracord for.
And these are things that, you know, as you procure them, they fill multiple needs, so your dollar goes a lot further because now you don't have to have five different things. You can just use one purchase to cover all of those needs. It also decreases the weight in your bug out bag. And I know that we're kind of getting closer and closer to another commercial break, but that's an important thing that we're going to talk about maybe in the next segment is bugging out or staying home and the importance of a bug out bag. And I think that that leads us to one of the other big mistakes that new preppers start to make when they're getting ready to get into this lifestyle. And I say lifestyle for a reason, because this isn't just sort of I'm going to go buy a, you know, new sports car and enjoy it on weekends. This is more of, you know, look, we're going to have kids. This is something that's going to change the way we live on a daily basis. And being prepared changes the way you look at life every single day. It's not just a momentary decision. So people are going to be getting into this. They're going to be looking at all the different changes they need to make in their lives, and they make some very basic mistakes. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that they make is this philosophy of, I'm going to bug out.
Right. Yeah, being obsessed over bugging out. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, I wonder if a lot of that comes from, you know, the TV shows that are very popular right now. I mean, like with the Doomsday Preppers, I guess, and, you know, some of the other shows that we see people... with their bags on their, you know, their back and heading out of Dodge.
And everybody has that fight or flight response. Mm. It's something that's easy to prey upon to get people worked into a lather about what to do. Oh my goodness, I got to be able to run when that may not be the best option. So, when we get back from the break, let's talk a little bit about bug out bag basics, about bugging out in general, when it's appropriate, when it's not, and how to avoid the mistake of I've got to flee right now.
Sounds good.
You're listening to AM. You're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy, and today we're talking about big mistakes that new people getting into prepping make. Just before the break, Amy and I were talking about bugging out and bug out bags, and I think that's a very common starting point for most people who are getting into this lifestyle to look and say, hey, I need to get a bag. I need a bag to get me, you know, from where I am to where I'm going. I need to have some basic things in it, medical, food, water, you know, the kind of go-to things that you need, you know, a good survival knife, some paracord. Let's build me a bag so that I can bug out. And that actually can be a real big mistake for people, because as you're looking at what, you know, your circumstance is bugging out always the best option?
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, I have a bag myself, but I call mine my get-home bag, because there are so many things in my home that I cannot throw over my shoulder and take with me.
And we got to be careful because you have to be able to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the idea, is that everybody needs to be able to make the decisions based on their circumstance. Sure, you know, if there's a severe power outage or an ice storm coming, maybe it makes sense to go to a family's, you know, or friend's house that's outside the area that's going to be affected. If there's a hurricane coming, it makes sense to get out of the area that's going to be affected. If there's, you know, a chemical or biological attack, it makes sense to get out of the infected area. But for most disasters, it makes a lot more sense to stay where you have all of your supplies instead of going someplace where you may not have any and taking only a small portion of them with you.
Yeah, because when you have to leave your pillow behind, your favorite blanket, I mean, all of your clothes, and I mean, there's only so many, you know, things of socks that you can take in your bag.
And, you know, it can be a good thing to leave, but...
it's a necessity at times.
And you can bring things with you when you have time to prepare, and you should have a plan to grab the things you need most. But just, for example, let's talk about your medicine cabinet. I mean, in my medicine cabinet, I've got great big bottles of Tylenol, of aspirin,
Cough medicines,
mm-hmm. things for the kids, Benadryl, ibuprofen, all of these different medicines, and they're large bottles. Now, if I was building a bug out bag, I wouldn't put in 500 Tylenol, 500 mm-hmm. Advil, 500. I would just put in a few to get me through. But at home, I have enough for months.
Exactly. And usually bug out bags are designed for 3 days. They're, you know, also called 72-hour bags. And that's the thing. Basically, the bag is designed for you to get from point A to point B. It's not designed for you to live out of. I mean, there's only so much food and, you know, that you can put in a bag. I mean, you're not going to have housing. I mean, staying, you know, away from the elements. I mean, these are important things.
Amy, what do you think are the main reasons that people tend to focus on bug out bags and bugging out when they're first getting started? What is it about people that think that this is the end all be all starting position rather than getting some, you know, extra food or building up supplies at their house or where they're normally living? Why do you think people are drawn to it?
You know, I think it's too much YouTube, maybe. I think it's here's the thing, Doug. I have never been in a situation, I mean, other than like a snowstorm, and, you know, for a couple days, and I have never been, I didn't live through the Great Depression, and I've never been in a situation in another country or, you know, I mean, I wasn't there when 9/11 happened. I mean, a lot of this is guessing, and a lot of it is hearsay, and we can, I think we're all pretty good guessers, but I think also that there's a lot of hype, and there's a lot of, I don't know. How would you say there's a, you know, just like reading a novel, you know, or watching a movie, and
It doesn't make a very good movie to say, okay, I have everything in my pantry. Let's just sit at home, kids, and wait for everything to blow over.
Mm-hmm.
Although there was a movie I remember where everyone didn't want to go outside. I can't think of the name of it right now. But generally, the plot lines don't revolve around, let's just sit at home and sing Kumbaya. So it may be kind of an institutional thing that we're drilled into this. We've got to be mm-hmm. able to run. And I think it does appeal to human psyche, the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And you can't fight, you know, a natural disaster. So the natural inclination is to run.
Right, and that's the thing. There's absolutely, and I want our listeners to know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a bug-out bag or a, as I like to call it, the get-home bag. It's a great idea, but don't obsess over it. Don't make that your first priority. Your first priority should go back to prioritize. We talked about your prioritizing your water, your food really should be a priority over your get-home bag.
I agree entirely. So what's another common mistake that beginning preppers make when they're starting to look at what they should do to get ready?
One of the things that I was thinking was maybe not having an evacuation plan.
Oh, that's a very good mm-hmm. one. You know, the ready.gov, their drumbeat has been make a plan, and that's a very important first step. A lot of people kind of start to obsess about things that they can buy rather than looking at what they need to do mentally to get ready for something.
Exactly, and not only just having a plan, but practicing, making sure that everybody that you know, your loved ones, everybody's on the same page, and they know, because if your cell phones go out and you're not able to call your spouse or your significant other and say, hey, this is what we need to do, then, I mean, you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah, and we have become so hyper-dependent on our cell phones as a way of communication, to text, to be able to call and reach anybody anywhere instantly. And it may not always be that easy. I remember, well, you mentioned 9/11 a while back. I remember during 9/11, all the cell phone channels were jammed and you couldn't get a call mm-hmm. through. Shoot, even just a couple weeks ago with the ice storm, there were a lot of cell phone frequencies that were all tied up by people making lots of calls from their cars. I couldn't reach my wife for over an hour because I was getting a busy signal. It wasn't her busy signal. It was the network that was busy.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time when there's something out of the ordinary going on.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it doesn't necessarily have to be like an electric magnetic pulse that takes out the electrical grid.
It can just be a million other users trying to make the same phone call at the same time.
Yeah.
And how are you going to know what to do? And we are so spread out now. And that's another problem that we have. I mean, right now, I'm here in studio with you. My wife is, at her work. My son is at school. My daughter's in daycare. Between the four of us, we're spread out over 150 mm-hmm. square miles mm-hmm. of territory. And if the power went out right now, I wouldn't be able to reach them to say, right. Let's rendezvous here. How are we going to get this? Or you go get this one and I'll get that one and we'll meet in the middle,
Right. And the tricky thing is, our situations are constantly changing also. So, instead of having just a plan A, you need a plan B and a plan C, but everybody needs to be on the same page.
And it does change dramatically, not just, day-to-day normal mm-hmm. circumstances, but things out of the ordinary can come up. I know that your husband travels out of country.
He is currently in California.
And when mm-hmm. if you're in another state, or if you're in another country, that's another thing that pops up. We talk about natural disasters or things like that, but there could be a revolution. What if my wife or your husband had been traveling in Venezuela this last week mm-hmm. or in the Ukraine? I mean, these countries are toppling left and right, and there are millions of people in the street protesting, and they're setting fire to the Capitol. That can pop up. I mean, 2 weeks ago, who would have said, that Ukraine is going to have a revolution mm-hmm. in 2 weeks on the weekend? Nobody was going to predict that. No one could have predicted that Venezuela would have, after a year of having their government run by this one guy, suddenly rise up mm-hmm. and start to demand changes. These things can happen in an instant.
Yeah, and they do. Yeah, but but also to sort of piggyback on that, I don't think that anybody was absolutely shocked, because if you look at history and if you look at the way that, just what's riddled through history, things like this happen all the time. Of course, we weren't able to foresee it and say, well, I know that on this date this is going to happen. But looking back in history, we're not surprised.
Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And so it makes sense to have plans. What are you going to do? If you go out of country, what are you going to do? What will your family do? What if you're out of country and your family is here and here's where the disaster strikes? What if it's a chemical spill?
Right, and I know these are very unpleasant things to think about and to talk about. And, I mean, this is not fun, dinner conversation, but it needs to happen. And, I mean, we can't just close our eyes and pretend like everything's, all good. I mean, we can sometimes, but these are important conversations to have.
It's the same as, drafting a will. Nobody likes to talk. I mean, I've got a background in law. Nobody ever wants to talk mm-hmm. about a will, but it's one of the most important things you can do for the safety and well-being of your children. But who wants to sit there and talk about, I want so-and-so to get this and so-and-so to get that, and I don't want this one to get anything. Those are not pleasant conversations, but it's necessary. And this is the same sort of thing. This is like planning a will or anything else that is an unpleasant topic. It still has to be done, and you've got to have when it happens, you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. Well, we've got a few more minutes. Why don't we talk? Why don't we throw another prepper's mistake in there real quick?
What do you think would be a really good fundamental mistake, Amy?
I'm thinking relying on gadgets instead of skills.
Skill set is very important, and that's something that a lot of people want to buy into rather than invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference between buying into something and investing in it. When you buy, your whiz-bang fire starter, that's great.
Is that a brand? Or
yeah, something you can hang on your keychain, and it's there, and it's, fancy and flashy, and everyone thinks it's really cool, but then you lose your keys, and what do you do? Whereas if you had the knowledge of how to start a fire on your own, mm-hmm. now granted, it may not be as fun as using your fancy fire starter or as easy, but if you have the knowledge, you can't lose it. Knowledge is the one prep that you never run out of
mm-hmm.
and nobody can take away from you.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah, that's true. Well, I could probably catch a fish, I think, with a pretty decent, fishing pole and with the right hooks and and
I can weave a fish tail, you know, one that was that big.
Yeah, but I know if I were just, you know, all by myself walking through the wilderness, I wouldn't have the first clue on how to catch a fish. But I would imagine that, you know, the knowledge of how to do that
is very important. And not just, you know, things that are kind of esoteric that you may or may not ever use, but, you know, basics. You need to know how to I was telling my son this the other day. You need to know how to change a tire. You mm-hmm. need to know how to pump your own gas. Mm-hmm. You need to know how to mix fuel for a two-cycle engine. You need to know how to skin a deer. You need to know how, there are certain things. You should know. I remember there was a famous author who had a list of 30 things that everybody should be able to do. You should be able to catch a fish. You should be able to frame a house. You should be able to do these certain things just because it's the basics of what makes humanity different from any other creature on Earth.
Yeah.
And that kind of knowledge builds together. And I think that's one of the reasons why True Prep has so many classes, is that they're trying to foster this love of learning in preppers so that they learn that it's not just about buying this or that. It's about learning what it means to be prepared.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll come back on and we'll ask Doug the question of, does he think that each individual needs to learn all these skills, or if there's an option? So we'll be back. You're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We were talking just before the break about skill sets and the knowledge that you can accumulate, and I was pontificating about all the different skills that I think that, you know, a well-balanced human being should have. And Amy brought up, just as we were cutting out, that is it necessary for you to learn everything? And of course, you know, that's a good question, because there's so much out there that you can learn. But there's such a thing as being a jack of all trades but a master of none. Mm-hmm. And then there are some things that, you know, we have different gifts. I think everybody has certain gifts which they are better at, naturally suited for, than others. Some
yes.
people are good at teaching, and some people are good at ministering to other people, and some people are better at encouraging people, and some people just couldn't thread a needle if their life depended on it.
That's right. And one of the skills that I know that I'm not good at would be probably anything to do with blood. Or, so, yeah, maybe like stitching someone up, I think I would probably have to pass that off. So I'm thinking if I've got a buddy of mine who's maybe in the medical field, that would be a really good partner to have.
And I think that brings us to another big mistake. And this one is the lone wolf syndrome. I'm here. I've got all my preps. Mm-hmm. I've got my family around me. I'm not going to let anybody touch it. They're all out to get me. So I'm going to huddle here in a corner and hope that everyone passes by and I don't need anybody but me.
That's right. And if Doug, if that's you all by yourself, you've got to sleep sometime.
Well, not only that, but you're never going to master all of the skills you need.
No, it's not possible.
You need to start to develop a network of friends, of good friends, of people you can trust who aren't going to come and try to take your food, but who are there going to be there for you and who have a like mindset.
And hopefully they're bringing their own food to put in the pot also.
Well, you may not have to coalesce that tightly together. I mean, they may have their place with their stuff and you have your place, but when something comes up, you know, you've got the tree down and you can't move it by yourself, you can give them a holler and they'll come over and help you with that, and you go help them with this, and you have a mutual cooperation agreement.
But right.
Let me hit you up with a question, Amy.
Sure.
How do I find people who I should trust and who I can let into my circle?
I think a good Google search, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know. I do know.
Put an ad on Craigslist.
I like it. Yes. Prepper searching for prepper. Prepper seeks prepper, I guess. I don't know how that would turn out.
Is that already a category in Craigslist personals?
I don't know, but it definitely should be.
maybe we can recommend it for True Prep to put on their website.
I like it. Yeah, we should. Well, I do know that True Prep does have a meetup group. And it's not really Prepper Seeks Prepper type of a meetup group. It's more...
It's not speed dating for preppers?
No. I guess it could be, but it isn't currently. Basically, I know it's about twice a month in both the Marietta location and the Roswell location. They have a meetup group that meets about twice a month. There's a different topic. They are like-minded people who get together and just get together and chit-chat and really learn from each other.
I heard that the Jasper location has now got a full staff and that it's really starting to open up the hours that they have, and they're looking to add a meetup group at that location too, at the same, kind of the same schedule, twice a month. So the beauties of these meetup groups is that you get together and you have a singular topic that everyone is there to discuss. So it's like beekeeping or canning or paracording, and everybody, or some of the more fun ones were things like the white elephant party, or what were some of the
Now I know that there's a hygiene one that's coming up, and also there is a bug out bag series coming up in Roswell.
Oh wow, so yeah, that should be fun,
and that's including some camping trips.
Well, there you go. So you see, you've got this common theme that everyone has a reason to be there. They're talking, and it gives you a chance to do two things. First, you can come, and if you're, you know, the type A personality, outgoing, you can start to chatter away on your first day and let everyone know who you are. But if you're not, if you kind of wanted to sit back and watch, there's something going on around you, but it's interactive. So you can contribute a little bit, you can hold back, you can watch, you can talk to people. And as you're sitting there listening to all these people, you're going to find out things. Like this one here, you know, he does GM cars, or that one there, you know, they're really big into canning, or this person went to the same high school I did, and you'll find common ground to talk to them. So then when there's a break in the group, then you can start to have a, you know, personal conversation, make connections, network, become friends with people that have a similar mindset. And that's a really hard thing to find these days, because so many people, even in our own families, don't understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Right, and that's the thing. We have to, it's something else to sit and talk about around the kitchen table is, you know, when you do have extended family who, you know, I'm sure you love and adore, maybe some not so much. Doug just gave me the big eyes. Sometimes they are going to be on board, but here's the thing. And Doug, you know this about me. I have a bleeding heart, and if my family were to come and knock on my door, you know, during some kind of catastrophe, I would take them in with open arms. But that's just me. My husband would be like, "What are you doing?" Maybe not.
Well, you know, that's it's a very valid point. At what point do you have to turn people away? Mm-hmm. And you know, if the type of emergency we're talking about is a 72-hour style emergency, you know, you got a month's worth of food. Why not help your neighbor? That's
right.
A great thing to do. Why not help your brother-in-law? But maybe it's not a 72-hour emergency. Maybe it's a month emergency, or a 6-month emergency, or a 10-year emergency.
Right.
And your year's supply of food, looking at this 10-year emergency, looks really scant.
Well, you're going to start dividing it, by the number of people who you start bringing in. So your 12 months, you know, all of a sudden it's going to last 6 months, and it's going to last 3 months, and it's going to last 2 months. But the people you are bringing in, if they do have skill sets, like you have a nurse, you know, that's there, or if you have, you know, some, young muscle that can bring firewood. I mean, you know, it's good to have some people with skills.
That's right. And but you need to kind of plan on your preparations on who you're going to be sustaining. And, you know, if you've got that brother-in-law who just thinks this is all silly and isn't going to prep, maybe you need to prep with the idea that when the hard time comes, he says this is all silly, but he's also a paramedic. So he might be worth investing so that you plan on providing for him the entire length that you're going to be prepping for.
Exactly. And this is not black and white. There is a lot of gray area, and it's very personal for every, you know, individual. So, we can only guess what's going to happen. You're going to learn a lot about yourself when you're in certain situations.
That's for sure. So what are some other topics that...
What about another mistake that preppers make is putting all their eggs in one basket?
Oh, that's a really big mistake. Speaking from experience, you know, I had a car fire once, and I lost an awful lot of stuff in that car fire. We were moving, and everything was in the truck getting hauled across country, and lo and behold, guess what happens, you know? So if you put all of your stuff, you know, in one room in the house, what if it floods? What if you put it outside in the garage and mice get in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go on vacation and you come back, and like Mark last week, you know, his wife set all of his seeds out in the garage, and next thing you know, they were all eaten.
Oh, goodness.
Remember?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not careful, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you're more susceptible to a loss.
Right. And there's different ways that you can do this. I mean, if you do have, we talked about the bug out bag, if you're going to bug out, I think something we didn't say was have a location to go to.
Oh, yeah.
So if you do have a bug out location, which really is key to decide if you are going to bug out or not, having that location with you know, with some preps there also, or even with some of the family members that are on board. I mean, and here's another thing too. I have a binder that I keep all of my very important paperwork and things like that in. But the thing is, when you're gathering that, you can actually scan them, put them on a flash drive, and I mean, the people that you trust, you know, you can maybe give a
binder, Amy, really?
Yes.
That organized?
Oh, honey, tell me. Let me tell you.
I'm more of just kind of let's throw everything around, and, you know, when we need it, you know it's in the house somewhere.
No, and get this. My binder even has a zipper. It has a zipper that goes all the way around just in case I'm moving pretty quickly and my paperwork's not going to fall out. You'd be impressed if you saw my binder. Actually, you know what? You need to check out my blog. It's all about the binder and all the stuff that you can put in that binder.
Where can I find your blog?
Well, Doug, surprising you should ask, actually. you can find my blog at trueprep.com.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So Amy, with her high school trapper keeper, has got all of her stuff together, and I'm sure that she would have just a flip-out moment if she was with me rooting around in my garage trying to find that flashlight that I was telling you guys about before and saying, I know it's here somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, which is like another prepper mistake. I see as a pretty big mistake is just being unorganized because, I mean, if you have that flashlight or if you have, you know, that fire starter, if you have that knife that you're looking for, but you don't know where it is.
I see being unorganized more as training for the unexpected, because it's always unexpected. Therefore, I'm constantly in a state of zen readiness.
Said
Amy.
The lawyer. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we're just about out of time. I know that you had one biggie, your favorite mistake for not prepping.
The biggest mistake in prepping is not prepping at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as we look at, if you're making an effort, if you're doing something, something is always better than nothing. You may not be, you know, the absolute best at anything, but if you have made the decision to get started, to work towards it, that is the biggest step. That is the most important thing to do. And the biggest mistake is doing nothing at all. Folks, the time has just flown by today. We are really appreciating you listening in. We will be back next week, same time, same channel, Ready Radio, right here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruePrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruePrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruePrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.